Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England. With 50,000 watts of political talk all across New England, you are tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And on the phone is baseball legend Curt Schilling. Good morning, Mr. Schilling.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, let's jump right into it. You came out this past week and endorsed Donald Trump. What are your thoughts on Mr. Trump?
I did. My thoughts on him are, I think, like a lot of the last, recent political experience for me. I don't agree with some of the things he says. I don't agree with some of the things he does, but I trust him at the end of the day. And I can't even come close to saying that comment about anybody else involved still. There are so many small issues that have become enormous issues that shouldn't be. I want the federal government out of the bathroom.
Yeah,
doesn't belong there. Come on, give me a break. And all the things that go with that. But those are the rallying cries of all this other stuff. I want an administration that supports law enforcement. I want an administration that actually respects, loves, and appreciates our military. But overall, I think I want an administration that has the protection of my family and my loved ones as a priority. And I haven't felt that for almost 8 years now. And when you look at the three people left, one of them's a felon and should be in prison. The other one couldn't win an election in the Soviet Union, be so far left. And, Donald is and I think that I've known Mr. Trump for about 12 years. And you know what? There's things places and things that he says and does that are nowhere near presidential. And I want that to change. I want him to get a little more dignity and respect and understand that this is the highest office in the land and that there's a lot of honor that should be alongside serving in that role. But I trust that he'll get it. I trust that he'll surround himself with smart people. I trust that he'll, when he talks about making our military great again, and people are like, and I'm one of them. I want specifics. I trust that he'll surround himself with people who understand the global situation and who will make things right, or try to anyway.
You don't think he's going to lead from behind, like our current president?
Well, no. There's nothing that he's ever done that would make you think that, is there? I mean, at the same time, one of the things this administration has done is basically, spit on the Constitution. Well, listen, if the law doesn't let me do this, I'm going to pass a mandate anyway, and you can kiss my butt. And that's not how it's supposed to work. I mean, that's exactly why there are the multiple branches of government to check the checks and balances to stop one person. And it's failed because one person is absolutely destroying hundreds of years of work and blood and sweat and tears that created us and got us where we were, both good and bad. In the last 7.5 years, that has been just torn piece by piece.
Well, I think Barack Obama has gotten a free ride in a lot of ways in his entire life. And unfortunately, the American people are paying dearly for it.
Yep. And well, not just us, but yeah. The what he's saddling our children with is scary, and I don't know that we'll be able to see that hole being dug out of in our lifetime, and I don't that scares me.
Well, I find it interesting that we spend lots of press time and debate time talking about where somebody's going to pee, but we have $1 trillion debt. On top of that, we have debt across every state and city.
Well, that's part of the problem. When you listen to the socialists talk about this election and free healthcare and free school and, the Nordic model, Bernie Sanders loves to spew about the model up in the Nordic countries. And the problem is those models are being run for a grand total of about 6 to 10 million people in countries with no defense budget.
Yeah.
And you're looking at, they want that same thing here. We're almost $20 trillion in debt. Our defense budget is larger than, I think, 25 or 26 nations right behind us. And it doesn't work. And that, I know you don't like to hear that, but that's just the truth, kids. It doesn't work. You're not going to get free college. It's just, that's why, just sit down and think about what that would actually mean for one school in the country to go from being a profitable institution to a nonprofit.
Well, I think the other thing is when you get something free, then you don't respect the value of it.
Well, I think we've learned that, and I think that's one of the reasons why we are where we are, this generation of entitled people. And I hate to lump them all together, because you certainly don't intend to mean that, because this country still makes some amazing human beings. And
yep.
I've had a chance to meet and shake hands with men and women overseas multiple times, and I know they're still there. But their mouths are shut, and they're out getting stuff done. You know, they actually have a job, so they can't go to the rallies and the protests and all the other things that these kids are doing. And I get it. I hear you. You want cheaper education. You'd like to be less in debt when you get out of school. You know, we've failed, I think, miserably to teach a generation of people to live within their means. Because you look at these, some of these kids are graduating with $200,000, $300,000 in college debt, and it's like, wait a minute, you're an idiot. You knew that was going to happen before you started. And now you're going to act surprised. And the job that you wanted to go to school for, well, that's the other thing. Everybody's coming out of school with an education in a field where there are no jobs.
Yeah, underwater basket weaving is a popular course, I think.
Yeah, well, and plumbers and welders, the trade skills. You look at I saw a commercial yesterday for a vocational school that teaches welding, and which is a ridiculously high-paying job.
Yeah.
But they're in need of almost 300,000 welders nationwide.
Actually, a friend of mine's daughter is a marine welder. In other words, she knows how to weld underwater.
I like that.
And guess what?
Okay, I'm not going to lie, that's hot.
Yeah, that's a good job.
Yeah, well, again, we've got a generation of kids who want McDonald's to be a job that can support a family, number one, and number two, they come out of college holding out for a management position.
Yeah, really?
It's like, that's how it works. McDonald's is a job that you worked in high school to get spending money. McDonald's is the job you got because your dad was going to kick your ass if you didn't get out of the house.
Yep.
You know, those are the jobs that you did in high school so you could get by and you understood what responsibility was, what discipline was, and all those things. And we, you know what? I'm blown away how we constantly, as conservatives, continue to explain how it's going to be when it happens, and it happens, and people are like, oh my God. Everybody said, that had any sense in business, if you raise the minimum wage, I don't care how long of a period you do this over, if you raise the minimum wage over a 2 or 3 year period, the only thing you're doing is eliminating jobs.
Yep, and that's proven.
Well, it's a guaranteed fact, and what people understand is all of these companies that the government is imposing this minimum wage on, they're publicly traded companies. They have a fiduciary responsibility to make as much money as they can for their shareholders.
Yep.
So what's going to happen when you add, $25,000 a year in expenses to a McDonald's? They're going to find $25,000 to cut. So
well,
now what you have in Seattle, you have McDonald's being run by one person, and the entire place is automated.
Yep, and it's not that hard to do.
Nope, and they're going to do it even more.
Yep, you're going to walk up there, and you're going to have a screen in front of you, and all the kids today know how to operate those.
Yep, yep.
So it's going to be, plain cheeseburger with fries,
That's what it is.
Box number four.
You literally go up there, and you punch the keys, and it's almost like a rotational thing. It brings your food out, and you pay the person. They can get rid of the person to pay and have security cameras there. I mean, it's scary, but we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how people are convinced otherwise. But then I watch YouTube, and I see videos of people walking around campus going, asking college kids who won the Civil War, and somebody saying, France? I'm not sure who won the Civil War. Like, we have lost a complete appreciation for the history of this country. And that, to me, is even more worrisome.
We're speaking with baseball legend Curt Schilling here on All Politics Local, WCRN 830. Mr. Schilling, I want to ask you a question. You've played most of your career on the East Coast, but, of course, your time in Arizona, and you've got to travel this great country and even the world. When you go to other parts of the country, is it as crazy as Massachusetts? Politics?
They like me a lot more in other parts of the country.
Well, here we are. We got three conservative Republicans talking on the radio on a Sunday morning.
And there's probably only six more total in the New England area, but there's a lot more than we think there are. I was born in Alaska, and I grew up in Arizona. In both of those states, from a Well, from a Second Amendment perspective, you learn to shoot in Alaska before you wear diapers because being killed by a bear is like a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
And in Arizona, you have the immigration problem, which has gone from being a problem to being an enormous problem. And so it's different. It's very different. But I live very close to California, and I did some stuff in California. And, you know, I watched that. I keep hearing Texas talking about they want us to secede and all this other stuff. I honest to God, would put a petition together to allow California to secede, just because it's like a different country. They're getting ready to try and pass laws that will make multiple law-abiding, well, thousands and thousands of law-abiding citizens potentially criminals if they don't abide by them. But you're going to have police officers and police people coming to the homes of law-abiding citizens to take things that they own, that they legally purchase.
Yeah.
That is a terrifying thought.
Absolutely. Well, California is a very diverse state. You can go to parts of California that are as conservative as Mississippi, and then, of course, San Francisco is about as liberal as you can find.
But the only thing you ever hear of in the media is the San Francisco and Hollywood group.
Yeah, and even, you know, the area in between San Francisco and Hollywood, there's a lot of conservative people there. A lot of agricultural-based people that are, for the most part, conservative.
Yeah. That's where immigration has had an enormous impact. And, you know, you have immigrants doing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of jobs that American citizens don't want. And, that's a dilemma. I get that. But at the end of the day, when you elect Jerry Brown more than once, you get what you deserve.
Electing him once is bad enough.
Right. If you do it more than once, that's like Marion Barry.
Yeah.
Come on. All right.
Well, let's not forget the most obvious one. Barack Obama got elected twice.
Right. I still wonder about this because in the 3.5, almost 4 years since the second time he got elected, I've met like two people that would admit to voting for him.
Absolutely. You played baseball in Philadelphia. Mitt Romney got no votes in the city of Philadelphia. Come on. I mean, really.
Right.
I mean, some people would have even made a mistake and voted for him.
To expect us
to believe that Mitt Romney got zero votes in the city of Philadelphia is just outrageous.
I get that he's boring, but you know, and that's the thing is I worry about. It feels like we're on the edge in a lot of different ways, and I feel like the Republican convention is being set up to be, an enormous venue for protesting, and you're going to see violence outside the convention, and like everything else, the liberals are going to blame the conservatives because liberal people got really pissed and started hurting people.
Hey, I wanted to touch on one thing. I also want to give you an opportunity to promote anything that you're working on. You do a lot of good charitable causes, but you and I have something in common. We're both fathers of children with Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism. And how's your battle going? I mean, every day is a new adventure in our household.
Yep. You know what? It turned from a battle a long time ago to an education. Grant is 16 now, and he looks at the world with about as caring and loving a heart as anybody you can ever imagine. He has no blinders. And so he loves very openly, and his favorite friend is a child that's stricken with SMA, which is the childhood form of Lou Gehrig's disease. And, Grant wants to go to college to be a physical therapist so he can take care of William. And his other best friend is a kid with severe Down syndrome. And you think it's when we were 16, what we did with our time was, for the most part, most of us, was an incredibly selfish thing, which is what most 16-year-olds do. My 16-year-old son lives as hard as he can live for other people, and he's in the LGBT club at high school because he doesn't want people to be treated differently. And so it's awesome. It's like I said, it's been an enormous education. He's wise beyond his years, and he's going to change the world someday.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, it's my son is the mirror image. I mean, he doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He's a big, strong kid, and he always wants to find the good in everything. And, people say to me all the time, oh, it must be hard. No, it's not hard. It's the most rewarding experience I've ever had because when I take a step back and look at how my son looks at things, it makes me a better person most days.
Yeah, he's taught me more than I could ever teach him. And I would never say that with him in the room because he knows everything. but that's not a lie. And that to me is in and of itself is an incredible gift. He's annoying because he's stubborn, but I am too. He's annoying because he thinks he knows everything, but I do too. You know, he just has the ability to look at the world and be happy. And I love that. I love that about him, and I love the thought. You know, the thing that breaks my heart is I think about how long it's taken for Asperger's to become something that actually people recognize, and I think about how many kids I grew up with. When I look back on going to school and high school, that they were quote-unquote different, and I look back and realize they weren't different. They were Aspies.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, my wife sometimes, when she's aggravated with me, she's like, you're probably on the spectrum. I said, yeah, you're probably.
Oh, I know I am. I know I am, absolutely.
But what about all of your other charitable work? Yeah, I mean, I want you to promote that as well, too.
No, Shonda and I have worked with ALS for about 25 years now. Genetic research and stem cell research is progressing at an incredibly rapid rate right now. It's still not fast enough because ALS is still a death sentence, but I think with the progression in Parkinson's and MS and MD and ALS and Alzheimer's, I think you're going to, when one gets cured, I think they're going to find the snowball roll downhill and a lot of them are going to be addressed. And that's exciting to me, but it's still something that needs the money. It's a challenge because unlike Hollywood where, you know, there's kind of a charity of the month. And when that charity loses the publicity it has, they move on to something else. The real world is stuck with taking care of the people that still need help. And so, you know, Shonda has got the Shade Foundation, which is still up and running for skin cancer awareness. And, you know, we do stuff with and for Autism Speaks. So we're blessed. We've been so blessed to be able to be involved in the things we are.
Well, we're lucky to have such a, you know, articulate spokesman for it. Your notoriety certainly brings notoriety to the causes, so we thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
One thing I want to mention to you, Terry and I were up at the State House on Thursday. I'm running for state rep in the Ashland-Framingham area, and we were doing some work up there. And we ran into a couple state reps up there, and we brought up the dreaded bathroom bill because the Senate was voting on the bathroom bill as we were there, and we were just outside the chamber doors. And we ran into a very liberal Democrat, and I brought up the subject, and as did Terry, and we said, you know, what do you think about this bathroom bill? And he said to us, I can't believe that we're talking about legislation that's going to affect about six people in the state of
Massachusetts. Oh, my God, thank you. Every time I hear liberals talk about it, rational liberals, they say the same thing. Here, I don't care. I guarantee you I've gone to the bathroom with transgender people in my lifetime. Why do you have to say anything? Why does anybody have to know? Just keep going to the bathroom where you go to the bathroom. It's never been a problem. The only thing, issues now is you want to get the pedophiles out of the men's and the women's rooms.
Yeah.
The only thing that law would do would open a larger hole for these sick, corrupted, disgusting people to do it. But, you know, I don't look at transgender people and see sexual assault. I look at transgender people who've made a choice. I don't care.
Yep.
I don't, you know, and it's like I always tell people, listen, I don't care as long as you're not sleeping with my wife. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care what you do. Why do we have to? And I've realized in the last year, the biggest issue for us is that we don't care as much as they do about their issues, and that pisses them off.
Well, I think this is all just diversion to get your attention off of the other things that they're the other agendas that they're trying
to do. The real issues.
The real issues.
Well, yeah, but it is. It absolutely it has to be because if we focus on the fact that Hillary Clinton is one of the most evil, disgusting human beings that's ever walked the planet, then the Democratic ticket gets in trouble because neither one of those people can be electable in this country. I would be blown away. Listen, Rosie O'Donnell threatened to leave our country if Donald Trump gets elected. Is that not a reason enough?
I might give her the plane fare. Let's give her the plane fare.
I'll go warm up my car right now.
The trip is free, but I find it funny how they all are standing up for the rights of Mexican illegal immigrants, but every one of them is headed to Canada and not Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you've traveled the country. I mean, how is Hillary Clinton a known... she's not
everything.
Forthright. She's not forthright. You know,
she's a liar.
She's a known liar, and she
right.
is the presumptive next president of the United States.
It's not that she's a known liar because they all lied to some degree. It's the depth of the lies. It's the content of the lies. This is a woman who landed in Kosovo and said she was under fire when she got off a helicopter, and it was like a skit. 30 seconds later, we're watching video of her shaking hands.
Yeah.
This is a woman who told us that four Americans who were she was responsible for taking care of were murdered because of a video. At the exact same time, was sending an email to her family telling the exact opposite story. Then called the families of those four people liars because she said she told them the truth and they said that she told them about the video. I mean, think about how bad of a human being you have to be to do some of those things. Because, listen, if you, I'm not naive enough to think that there's any candidate out there who checks every box I want checked. You know, with the guys that I love, John McCain and everybody, those guys didn't check the boxes. President Bush, both. I had issues. I had differences. Yep. I'm always going to have differences. But, again, I get back to the same thing. At the end of the day, I need to know the person I'm voting for loves this country. I can trust them and will protect my family and friends.
So how did Barack Obama become president?
Because we didn't care enough to get out and vote. Almost 12 or 13 million registered Republicans sat on their asses twice.
Yeah.
Twice. And so that can't happen again. And I think that's one of the things that's happened is I think Donald Trump has energized this country to realize not only is voting an enormous privilege, but it matters.
Yeah.
It truly, and here's the thing I say. If you didn't pull a lever, shut your mouth.
Absolutely.
You have no
if you don't vote.
In the future.
Nope. If you don't vote, you can't complain. Absolutely.
Nope.
Absolutely.
And
you know,
so I think the word that terrifies me more than anything is apathy. I think people are apathetic. Like, you know, because for so long it was always, well, that's somebody else's problem. Well, now they've made it so bad that it's everybody's problem.
Well, we do have a guest coming up at 11:05. His name is Ben Howe. He's an author for Red State, and he is leading the Anybody But Trump effort.
Yeah.
And I'm going to flat out ask him. I mean, okay, so what you're doing is you're trying. You know, I mean, if you don't want to vote for Trump, which is your right, you know, and you want to run this anti-Trump, you're just, you know, guaranteeing Hillary Clinton's going to be our next president.
Well, yeah, they're not. There's nothing about these people that's conservative. Nothing. Yeah. And that's they're part of the establishment. Mm-hmm. They are part of the reason why I think the common citizen despises politicians and politics because. Mm-hmm. They want their agenda lock, stock, and barrel, or you can't have what you want. It's not about what's better for the country. It's about what's better for them individually. And that's not how it works. Not how it's ever going to work. And those people are, they're the problem. They're an enormous part of the problem. I think they're also the reason why everybody's going to vote this time. Because we're sick and tired of watching these people, you know, voice their agenda on a nation full of people that don't want it.
Well, Donald Trump has certainly brought out more voters and more voters to the Republican side than a long time. In fact, he's pulling them over from the Democratic side in,
yep.
in droves.
Yep.
You know, we were at the Trump rally at the DCU back in the fall, and there was a woman there, probably mid-60s and kind of a little bit of a rough woman. And, you know, she's been a Democrat for 40 years and a union supporter, and she and her family, all of them, were going to vote for Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
And,
well, the media is trying to paint it elsewhere. Otherwise,
yeah,
right. The media is continuing to pile. Listen, you cannot trust mainstream media anymore.
No.
I don't know if people have gotten that through their heads. You can't do it. You have to do the work on your own because a lot of what they're telling us or trying to convince us of is not true. For everything from Donald Trump's a racist, which Donald Trump never said he wanted to ban Muslims from the country.
No, he just wants to slow down.
He wants to stop a broken, flawed process and fix it.
Yep.
Because he wants to be able to keep people safe. Where's the? But the media has people believing or has people saying he's a racist. So, you know, you have to go out and find on your own. You have to research. If you care. If you don't care, like I said, sit back and shut up.
When am I going to get a chance to vote for Curt Schilling on a ballot?
Yeah, that would have to run through the head of the house, who's Mrs. Schilling.
Oh yes.
Which I'm like I said, I want to get involved in some way, shape, or form over the next year in a way that I can talk about things that move the needle and hopefully have an impact and a positive influence on this election.
Boy, but as a former selectman in my town, I couldn't think of it. You know, can you imagine Kirk Schilling and John Featherston as two board of selectmen? We'd get a lot of stuff done, I think.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, don't fool yourself. You know this. If you want to affect change in this country, you do so at the local level.
Yeah,
that's where politics happen. Because I'll give you an example. I went to the board here in Medfield, and I wanted to I proposed a $1.5 million system that would hire former military veterans to be on the ground, boots on the ground, school security at all our public schools. But that $1.5 million, it was apparently more important to turf the football field.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody wants. The world has become, I think, acceptant of time. I don't know how to put this, but everybody says, well, you can't do that right away. You got to give it time. People are going to freak. No, you don't. You got to stop. You got to stop with that. The world's moving wicked fast.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff has to get done. You've got to ruffle feathers, and you're going to make people mad. But at the end of the day, if the things you're doing keep them safe and put people to work, they'll get it.
The most frustrating thing I heard when I was a selectman, oh, we need to do a study. What? We don't need to do a study.
Well, right. Town halls are littered with studies.
And you know what? There is so much government waste in policy and in boards and groups and committees and studies. It is, and you know, listen, I'm not naive enough to think, hey, listen, I'm just going to wipe out government waste. I mean, that's just not how it happens. There has to be something put together to make that happen. But I got to believe that we can start trimming off some of that $19 trillion by getting rid of, you know, studies to figure out why the killer whale doesn't like green fish.
Yeah.
Or some dumb, you know. So that's scary. You can just see that stuff. And that's where, you know, we elected these people. All that pork that we see on this legislation, those are the people. Why do we keep electing them?
Well, the issue is that they justify that by, you know, that pork goes to my district. So
well, and I get that. But when you've got 100,000 elected officials putting money into their district, you know what? Let the states do that with state money.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, the great Kurt Schilling joining us here on All Politics is Local. It's an honor to have you, Mr. Schilling.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll talk again soon. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. It's my life, baby, but